Well, we are so delighted to be here, and we brought along some friends. We have Dr. Ralph and Joy Peterson. They're working as medical missionaries now in Trinidad. In fact, there's one of our large universities, Seventh-day Adventist universities. They're down there. Dr. Joy is a dietitian and registered dietitian. She's a chef par excellence, and she has she's had her own restaurants. And Dr. Ralph is a medical doctor, and he's also a pastor. So they have been working in the pastor department and in the setting up a whole new program of allied health. And they're just working very, very hard. Medical missionaries. Anybody a medical missionary here today, by the way? Okay, I got my work cut out for me. All right. And there's one other thing. You know, I have my glasses on, but the truth is I can't really see so well. So I know there's a clock on the wall. I can't quite make it out. Okay. Tell the truth. Well, I think the clock is lying. Okay. And we have another dear friend, Jerry. Jerry, so glad to have you with us. So the question we have for you today is there a doctor in the house? We're talking about, she mentioned about our medical missionaries. We're talking about getting ready, as my honey was talking just now, getting ready. Take a journey with me. This is your looking inside the body. Can we cut these lights out? Okay. All right. Do you see all of those arteries and veins? The arterioles are the very tiny ones, and then they get down to the size so small they call them the capillaries. Okay? There, the arteries get smaller and smaller. There are your red blood cells. If you are going to go ahead and put all of your arteries and veins and capillaries together and tie them to a string, do you know how long that string would have to be? It would have to be 60,000 to 100,000 miles long, each person. Can you imagine if you had to have that amount of freeways to keep open? Now we're going up the inferior vena cava. This is one of those valves that when ladies get, they get these varicose veins. You know, we're going up and up towards the heart. Anybody seen inside the heart before? You would like to see? Okay, there we go. Way up here in the distance. And now we can see the valve. That first valve is called the tricuspid valve. There are three of them. We've gotten into the right ventricle and those trabeculations, and their heart just keeps beating and beating. By the time you're 70 years of age, it will have opened and closed 2 billion times with a B, billion times. And those tissues are very, very thin, some of them. The muscles are, you know, strong, but the valves are paper thin. And yet they can open and close 2 billion times and not break down. You see that looking towards the pulmonic valve up there. Your heart is just a little organ the size of your fist, but if you are going to put all of the blood that your heart beats, if you're going to put them and load them into a drum, you know, those big drums that they use to store those big barrels drums, if you're going to put them in, load them into these drums, by the time you're 70, you would need to have a drum, you need to have 1 million drums to hold all of the blood, 1 million. If you're going to put them on a train, the blood that your heart beats by the time you're 70 years old, that train would have to be 25 miles long. The psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This awesome thing. But what can we do to keep it open? How can we work? A friend of mine, his name is Dr. Mills, shared this with me. It's called Heavenly Health. You may have seen it before, but I like to share it. And God populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach, green and yellow vegetables of all kinds, so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. And Satan created McDonald's. And McDonald's brought forth the 99-cent double cheeseburger, and Satan said to man, you want fries with that? And man said, supersize me. And man gained pounds. Then God created the healthful fruit that woman might keep her figure that man found so fair. And Satan brought forth chocolate, and a woman gained pounds. And then God said, try my crispy salad. And Satan brought forth ice cream, and woman gained pounds. And God said, I have sent you heart-healthy vegetables and olive oil with which to cook them. And Satan brought forth fried chicken in a bucket. And man gained pounds, and his bad cholesterol went through the roof. Then God brought forth running shoes, and man resolved to lose those extra pounds. So then Satan brought forth cable TV and remote control, so you didn't have to get up to change the channel between ESPN and ESPN2. Then God says, you're running up the score, devil. So God brought forth the potato, a vegetable, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition, just 80 calories. Well, what happened? Satan peeled off the healthful skin, salted and sliced the starchy center into chips and deep fried them. And he created sour cream dip also. So that 80 calories moved up to 1,000 calories for that one potato. And man clutched his remote control and ate the potato chips, swaddling trans fat and cholesterol. And Satan saw and said, "It is good." And man went into cardiac arrest. Then God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery and coronary stents, and Satan created HMOs. A long time ago, we were told this by the servant of the Lord. Perfect health depends upon perfect circulation. You saw that 60,000 to 100,000 miles of blood vessels? If you can keep them open, then that goes a long way to your having perfect health. If you look at the brain, you'll notice most organs, like, you know, they'll have one artery or maybe two going to any particular organ. But the brain has four arteries going to it, just in case one of them gets into trouble. There's also another reason why it does that, because the brain is the most active tissue in the body. In fact, it only weighs 2%, yet it takes up 20% of your blood supply. Did you catch that? This little thing here, this little brain here, 20% of your blood that your heart beats has to go to the brain to make it keep working, functioning. So if you mess up the circulation to your brain, what do you think happens to your brain? It doesn't function like it's supposed to. Now, the way the Lord makes it, there's a little backup system, but still, you have to try to keep your brains working. So the question is, why is it so important to keep our brain working at your best? There are lots of reasons, but this is the most important reason. Because God wants to connect with you, and the way he connects with you is how? Through your brain. Anything that destroys that connection process, what happens with God trying to connect with you? It's broken. And so that's why the devil is trying so hard to disrupt the connections. And there are lots of ways he's been doing it. The Holy Spirit can only connect through us through our brain nerves and electrical activity. Now, this is an operation room. This is where, you know, where we hang out. This is looking for an open heart surgery. Okay? You see the open heart surgery? Anybody interested to be a patient here? I didn't think so. Well, what's going to happen to me? I need somebody. Well, here is a very important principle. It goes like this. The more you learn how to operate in your kitchen, the less I will have to operate in mine. This is my kitchen. But you know what is the very best surgical equipment? I've done a lot of research, and I have found the very best surgical equipment if you know how to operate this, then I don't have to do this. In fact, when you look at Seventh-day Adventist Christians who have and compare them to the rest of the population, now in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a lot of folk with the extra light that we have are following God's will, but some aren't. But this is what they found. Basically, on average, Adventist men live 7 years longer and women live 4 years longer than the other Californians. And they found out the simple health habits that we helped to promote, that we've been promoting for well over 140 years. Things like not smoking, eating a plant-based diet, eating nuts several times a week, regular exercise, and maintaining a normal body weight. You do all of those and your lifespan goes up 10 years. Now, I know most of us here are, well, all of us here will consider ourselves young people. And when you're young, you don't think much about getting into trouble, right? You figure you can get away with almost anything. The truth of the matter is you're not getting away with it. It's just piling up. In fact, when they did autopsies on young men that were killed in Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan, they're beginning to see a lot of heart disease already at 18 and 20 years old. I had a 20-year-old guy coming in with a heart attack. Okay? So, how do you avoid this happening to you? The question is there a doctor in the house? And better yet, the question more is there a doctor in your house? Because as you look at the statistics, they found us very interesting things, like people who eat red and white meat, you have an increased colon cancer. If you ate a lot of beans, less risk of colon cancer. Just eating whole wheat bread instead of white bread cuts your risk of heart attack by almost a half. Drinking 5 glasses of water a day cuts your risk of heart attack by half. In fact, people, they found out if you drink a glass of water before you go to bed at night, cuts your risk of heart attack in half just doing that. Of course, you go up to the bathroom all night. But where would you rather go, to the bathroom or to the emergency room? I knew it. Okay. So the question is there a doctor in the house? More specifically, is there a doctor in your house? That is what, how do you have a doctor in your house? Well, there's a simple way to do it. It's called a New Start. You ever heard of New Start? I think most of you have. The N stands for what? Nutrition. The E is for? Exercise. The W is? Water. The S is for? Sunshine. The T that we just missed is temperance, meaning moderation in all things. Staying away from bad things completely. And the good stuff you enjoy in moderation. And then comes the R. The A is pure air, and the R is for getting some rest. And I must confess, as a doctor, as a heart doctor, because they call me up in the middle of the night to take care of heart attacks, I don't get enough rest. I confess. I'm working on it, though. Okay. And then the last T, learning to trust in God. If we can understand how this works, you'll have the very best circulation, and you will be able to help other people. And when you're helping other people, you know what that makes you? A medical missionary. Isn't that something? Okay. Well, there are three kinds of will when it comes to God. There's a perfect will, there is his permissive will, and then there is his forbidden will. Perfect will is, this is what you must do. Permissive will, okay, you may do that. And there, the other one called the forbidden will is no, no, no. Okay? How does it work in food, for example? We're told what to eat. Genesis 3, 18, 29, we have our diet. And you notice what's that word? You what? Shall eat. And then it tells you the herbs of the field and the fruit and so on, the seeds and so on. But then when we started to eat meat, and this sermon is not about meat, but I have to talk a little bit about it, okay? Is that all right? Okay. I should, because I don't want to have to see you in the operating room. Okay. So notice what it says in Leviticus 11, 1. These are the animals which you what? Is there a difference between shall eat and may eat? Big difference. Shall eat means you must do this. This is what I'm telling you to do. That's this perfect will, right? But may eat is what? This is his permissive will. You may do that, but it's not my best plans for you. And when you're eating the meat, by the way, he says, be sure not only is it the right meat, but it shouldn't have any fat or blood in there. And most of the food that we eat, once meat goes, whether it's McDonald's or wherever, it has blood in there. So you can only be eating kosher meat if you're going to eat meat. Are you with me so far? According to God's permissive will. What's the difference between his perfect will and his permissive will? It's very easy. If you just look and see how long people were living when they were doing his perfect will, they were all living to 900 years old. Once they got over to this permissive will category, they started living down to 70 years old. Which would you rather live for? 900. Unfortunately, we've gotten all of the bad genes for those who were going in the permissive will, so we don't have that choice anymore. Okay? So, but that's the difference between perfect will and his permissive will. Let's talk a little bit more about nutrition. Anybody likes to eat beans and lentils? Who hates beans and lentils? Tell the truth, you're in the Lord's house. Okay, there's a few people. Well, you see, when you eat beans and lentils, it has an amino acid called L-arginine that your body converts into nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is when people take nitroglycerin, that makes their heart, the arteries open up. It is also the most powerful cancer killer around. So, let me show you an angiogram. Here's a normal person. If I were to do most of you young folk, this is your heart right here. This is the artery on your left side. These coronary arteries. These are the coronary artery on your right side. That's the right coronary artery. And then the left ventricle, the main pumping chamber, that's here. You can see it pumping nice along. Well, I had this patient of mine, Mr. I Hate Beans. Well, he had a bypass surgery, stents. Now you see his arteries are good for nothing on the left side. And then on the right side, it's gone completely. These wires are pacemaker wires. He's got a defibrillator. Then we had given him a bypass surgery, and here's the bypass. There's nothing there. It's closed down. Everything is not working. Nothing is working. He just has one bypass left, and here's his heart down here. If you can take a good look at it, do you see hardly there's nothing going on there? Do you notice that? Hardly anything? And his ventricle, the left ventricle, is hardly moving at all. He walked into my office, and he was taking 50 nitroglycerins a day. He says, I feel like I'm going to die. I said, you're right. And then he says, what am I going to do? I've been telling him over and over, eat beans, lentils, forget McDonald's, forget all of this burgers and chicken and all of this stuff that you're eating. It's killing you. But he says, I really can't do without that. So he comes in now. He says, can I do a surgery? The surgeon says, I wouldn't touch him with a 20-foot pole. And so the man says, am I going to die? He says, yes. So he says, what can I do? Can I go home to see my folks? I say, go home in Mexico. He goes home in Mexico. We prayed and we cried and prayed together. And then I said goodbye. I like to pray with my patients as often as I can. And so 4 months later, this brother walks back into the door. And I looked and I almost had a heart attack. Mr. Lopez, you're still alive. What happened? And then his wife is with him. He says, oh, yes, he's walking up the tallest hill, and I can't keep up with him. I said, no. I know his heart. He can't walk to the bathroom without taking a nitro. And then he told me the story. He says, where we live in Mexico, we are so poor, the only thing that they had to eat was beans and lentils. And then he says, we are so poor, we couldn't afford a taxi even, so I had to walk everywhere. And he says, we are so poor, we don't even have a television. So I had to go out into the garden and work. And now he wasn't even taking any nitros, hardly any, and he was doing fine, without even any blood circulation. Why? He became a doctor in his house, and he made the changes, not because he wanted to, but because he had to. 3 months later, living in America, he was back to where he was before. Protein, we've also discovered. They did some rat experiments giving them cancer, and they found that if they fed them milk protein, 20% milk protein, they were all dropping from cancer death. But if you used a plant-based protein like wheat or soy, nothing would happen. They wouldn't be coming down with cancer. So they've discovered that all of the animal-related proteins will directly increase your chance of coming down with cancer. Now you know why you went from 900 years old to 70? The diet was promoting cancer and heart disease and all these other stuff. Here is a look at some of the connections in your brain. Your brain, the wiring, we call them the axons. And then the neurons are the main nerve cells. This is a schematic, of course. And you have 100 billion nerve cells or neurons. And these cables together come up to around 3 million miles of wiring in your brain. 3 million miles. Okay? And after puberty, which, you start, the connections, where they connect together, you have 300 trillion connections. After puberty, you start losing those connections at about 100,000 per second. And the more bad stuff you do, the quicker you lose them. Okay? The brain connects and works together by what we call neurotransmitters. These neurotransmitters are what are chemical signals or messengers. And you have all kinds of neurotransmitters. You have the noradrenaline ones. And we know what they will do. You even have a marijuana transmitter. Okay? That's the one that makes you feel mellow. So if your house is burning down, no problem. You're so mellow, you don't care. Well, there's another one called the serotonin. That's the one called the feel-good neurotransmitter. Now, listen up, young people. This is very, very important. It's not a part of the sermon. Can I just talk about neurotransmitter, serotonin? I have to talk about serotonin. This is the feel-good one. When you get married, and you're the husband and the wife on that first wedding night, or whenever they get the energy, consummate their marriage, in this wonderful bliss of finally getting married. Okay. When that moment happens, when they're married and they make love together, what happens is that your brain releases a lot of neural transmitters, but one of the ones that gets highest is this thing called the serotonin, the feel-good transmitter. Now, in the women, that neurotransmitter serotonin will stay high for 5 or 6 days. For men, it stays high for 5 or 6 hours. What this means is that if you say yes to that young man before he is, you got the ring on your finger, 5 or 6 hours later, he may not even remember your telephone number. Do you get it? You're still feeling you're in love, but he can't even remember what address you are. Very important principle. So those neurotransmitters, we know what they do. And we know how to make them. We are finding out more and more things. Now, if you feed somebody two cupcakes, a kid, if you give them two cupcakes, their adrenaline transmitter gets increased by not double, but 10 times higher. And you get edgy, irritable, you can't focus. So you eat a lot of sugar, you're not going to be able to concentrate. And a lot of foods we eat have a lot of extra sugar in them. We also found out, too, that's the number one reason for low blood sugar. They found out that if you are trying to get rats to drink alcohol, the rats won't drink alcohol. But if you give them some sugar, they like sugar. And once they lick the sugar, then they are ready to drink all the alcohol you have to give them by giving them the sugar first. So you notice how the food can mess up your brain. Things that you would not have otherwise done if you had the wrong foods in, this can really mess you up. It works the other way around too, because if you could feed a lion good food, vegetables food, plant food, what do you think would happen to that lion? That lion, if he's raised a vegetarian, you can actually see such a lion turning away from meat. Does not want to eat the meat. He just wants to eat the good food. And this lion called Little Tyke was on the Hollywood set for many years. He was the greatest house pet you could ever have. House pet. What made the difference? The food. Now, one may say, well, what about, this whole... You could exercise all you want, and it's good. But you can't, it's very important to remember that no matter how much you exercise and eat the right foods, that's not going to get you into heaven. It's a very, very important principle. You can't get to heaven by walking. You can't get to heaven by eating enough Glutenberg Express. Gluten hamburgers. You can't get to heaven on adrenaline, because the Bible says the only way to get to heaven is by Jesus' blood, his shed blood. By grace you're saved through faith. But remember this, young people and older ones. You cannot eat your way into heaven, but you sure can eat your way out. Because if your mind is messed up, God cannot connect with you the way he'd like to. So you have to be very careful about that. But when your mind is right and you are happy in the Lord, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, and it says joy in the Holy Ghost. So you'll be happier when you're connected with the Lord doing what he says. What happens when you eat the food that's very high in fat? You start sleeping, because the circulation in your brain goes down. And as a consequence, the Holy Spirit is harder for you to hear his voice. In fact, the servant of the Lord told us this many years ago. She says, let's read that together. Grains and fruit prepared free from grease and in as natural a condition as possible should be the food for the tables of all who claim to be preparing for translation to heaven. The less feverish the diet, the more easily can the passions be. Read the next one. If ever there was a time when the diet should be the most simple kind, it is now. Meat should not be placed before our children. Its influence is to excite and strengthen the lower passions and has a tendency to deaden the moral powers. Then she went on to say that just doing nothing, physical inactivity, is just as bad, because the brain nerves that connect with the whole system are the medium through which heaven communicates with man and affects the inmost life. Then read together. Whatever hinders the circulation of the electric current in the nervous system, thus weakening the vital powers and lessening mental susceptibility, makes it more difficult to arouse the moral nature. You can mess up. You want to do right, or you keep making the same mistakes. Many times, it is the lifestyle, the food, even not getting enough exercise that can happen. Nowadays, young people used to get a lot of exercise. Now we're, on Game Boy, and you know what I mean. On the computer, watch out, okay? So they've actually found that for every hour you exercise, you get an extra 2 hours of life more. So it works, it pays to exercise. They've also found that if you smoke but you're very active, you're going to live longer than the person who doesn't smoke but doesn't exercise. Ellen White had this one reference. She says, chapter after chapter has been opened to me. I can select family after family of children in this house, every one of whom is as corrupt as hell itself. She said, some of them profess to be followers of Christ, and you, their parents, are as indifferent as though you had a shock of paralysis. Then she goes on to this down the bottom here. Some of you fathers have taken your children to the physician to see what was the matter with them. I could have told you in 2 minutes what was the trouble. Your children are corrupt. She made a diagnosis. Satan has obtained control of them. He has come right in past you while you, who are as God to them to guard them, were as eat stupefied and asleep. And God has commanded you to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, and yet you sleep on. May heaven pity you and your children, for every one of you need his pity. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, you remember that tomb? Remember the story, Lazarus? There was this big stone there. Now, Jesus could have just twinkled his nose and the stone moved. He could have said, "Move, stone." Now, what would happen? The stone would move, but did Jesus do that? No. What does he say? He says to the people around him, he says what? Roll away the stone. Why did not Jesus do a miracle to move the stone? Anybody has any reason? Know why? Because God will not work a miracle for you that you can do for yourself. And before you ask him to do a miracle for you, you better make sure that you have done your part to roll away the stone. In fact, she says, many have expected that God would keep them from sickness merely because they ask him to do so. God will not work a miracle to keep those from sickness who have no care for themselves but are continually violating the laws of health and make no effort to prevent disease. He is not going to hear your prayer. So, there you are, praying, "Oh God, I have this diabetes, this heart attack, this cancer. Oh, please, please, spare my life, cure the cancer, make my heart good again." You know what God says? Stop your prayer. Get up off your knees. Go home and look in that refrigerator of yours. And he says, "You know, I think you need to have a surgery." You know the name of the surgery that this refrigerator needs? It's called a refrigerectomy. A refrigerectomy. To get rid of all of the stuff that has been messing you up. And then after you've done that, you know, I kept the television there. Should we keep the TV? Well, if you're going to have a TV, remember, you can feed your mind a lot of junk food. And some people, you know, all of those movies and shows and you know, games and stuff, junk food. So, so either you're going to have to replace it with something better, or I just did a televisionectomy. Okay. And then you got to replace it with good stuff. Good food. Doesn't that look good? Oh, boy. I'm feeling hungry right now. Don't say a thing. Not a word. Okay. After you've done the refrigerectomy, then Jesus can say, "Okay, you've done your part. Now I'm going to call Lazarus and have him come forth. Now I'm going to do that." And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have a twofold work. One is to make sure that we have done everything on our part so the Holy Spirit can get to us. And then the second thing, which is very important, and that is we got to reach out and help somebody else. When you do that, that is what we call being a medical missionary. So there's a job description for a medical missionary, help wanted, a stone roller that rolls away, help people to roll away this stone that they're messing up. You can show them a better way so that Jesus can say, "Lazarus, come forth." Time is almost finished, young people and older ones. We are living at the very cusp of something very big about to happen. You just saw this happening a few weeks ago. Well, Ellen White had this. "My vision comes up before me and the words of the angel even now seem to ring in my ears. Get ready, get ready, get ready." As you're talking about preparing your minds by the foods and the habits, the lifestyle, the idea is getting ready for things that are about to happen. We have our friends and neighbors that are outside the ark of safety and family. Are we reaching them, or are they going to get swept away in the coming storm? Are you going to get swept away? Because unless the Holy Spirit has a hold on your mind, unless you are directly connected, you will be swept away, and all of the people that are around you that you could help but didn't because you're in a stupor from that last burger you ate, they will also have to suffer the consequences. She says, "Time is almost finished, almost finished, almost finished. Cry, cry for the arm of the Lord to be revealed. What you must do quickly. time is almost finished. You see all of this chaos and, you know, earthquakes and Wall Street melting and all kinds of stuff going on. We're almost there. The cities that we know of, Los Angeles, we have our turn coming. You saw what happened in Japan? It's coming here. Guaranteed. It's going to be coming to all of these our big cities. The terrible disasters that are befalling the great cities ought to arouse us to intense activity in giving the warning message to the people. What have you been doing about giving a warning message? You know, you're never too young to be able to give a warning message. That's why I love GYC and the purpose of being prepared to give a warning message. By all means, you should be attending that GYC upcoming event. It's the place to be. But how do we do this? She says, the most favorable time for presenting our message has already passed. Then she says, the best way, the medical missionary work is a door through which the truth is to find entrance to many homes in the cities. One of the ways to reach them is through medical missionary work. In fact, she says there's going to be a time when you won't even have this church. Pastor Vin is going to be not even able to stand up and preach if he's not in jail. The only work he'll be able to do, she says, I wish to tell you that soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work, which is why he's getting the CHIP program, you know, wants to get the program here. Medical missionary work, reaching people who are going to be swept away. And you have a way that you can help them if you are awake and can hear the Holy Spirit. Medical missionary, someone who helps others to cooperate with God by rolling away the stone. There is a story told as we get to an end. This woman that had spent all of her money at my colleague's, 12 years had this anemia, bleeding. And she finally, in desperation, she's asking like the prophet in Jeremiah, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no recovery? But the master healer, the doctor of doctors, was walking by. And she was just able to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. You remember that story? You and I can help one another, help people, help ourselves to reach out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. When you do that and introduce people to the very best doctor in the house, wonder of wonders, wonderful things happen. I have a handout that we'll be passing out at the end. But it concludes like this. It says, still, all the carrots and broccoli in the world cannot make you live forever. And there are burdens and trials that we face for which we need someone infinitely greater than ourselves to handle. Only one person alone has proven that he can fix what is broken, replace what is taken, and answer the prayer unspoken. He alone can mend a broken heart, heal incurable sickness, even conquer death and the grave. He is the problem fixer, the doctor's doctor, the sinner's savior, the King of Kings. When you accept him as your doctor, he will do whatever is necessary to save you. Dr. Jesus, what a God. He's not promised to remove all your trials, but he's promised to be with you through all of them. And as the signs all around us declare that time is running out, he's pleading with you, with me. And he sent me over here to give you this message. Get ready. Get ready, get ready. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Do you have the doctor of doctors in your home? Do you realize that the bridge is out and that this earth, this train called earth, is hurtling toward a dramatic and terrible end? What are you doing about it? At school, at home, to your friends, do they know that you are a Christian? Can they see Jesus in you? Are you giving the warning message? Oh, my loving brother, my loving sister, when this world's on fire, do you have the doctor's doctor, Dr. Jesus, to be your bosom? That is the question I have for you as Yolanda sings the song.